The Jerusalem Conference was held. Paul traveled throughout Asia, preaching, teaching, and establishing churches. Luke joined Paul's party, and because of a vision, they then departed Asia and traveled over to Europe, to Macedonia. And they went to a city called Philippi. A letter was later written to the church in Philippi. So let's pick up the story today in Acts chapter 16. If you'll turn, grab your spiritual guidebook, your user manual, and we'll turn over to Acts chapter 16, and we'll pick up the story in verse 11. Chapter 16 of Acts is where Luke joined the Apostle Paul's party. And in verse 11, Luke records the following. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Verse 14, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. So here we see that Paul and his companions, Paul, Luke, and whoever else might have been with them, they gathered together on the Sabbath, and they happened to meet a handful of women down here by the river. Now there are a lot of different women mentioned in Scripture. We might not always be familiar with their backstories or their backgrounds. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the story of Lydia. We're going to look at some character traits, some attitudes, and see what lessons we can glean from her story. So Lydia, her name means kind. What else can we take away from this? Verse 13, we see it said, on the Sabbath day. So Lydia and her friends, they were habitually meeting on the Sabbath. And Lydia was congregating with like-minded individuals. Going on to verse 14, it says that she was a seller of purple. Now that word in Greek is porphyropolis, and it is a feminine word. It means a female trader in purple cloths or dyes. And both Bible and non-biblical scholars, archaeologists, they both agree that purple dye was not cheap. It was very expensive. And there's a reason for that. Today, you can just go out to the store and buy purple dye. Great, now I have a purple tie-dye shirt. It cost me $3. But in this day and age, in the first century, acquiring purple dye was a lengthy and laborious process. And this is according to John Gill's commentary. What had to happen is it was extracted from a sea snail or a shellfish. And what had to happen is you'd have to dive 5, 10, 20 feet underwater. You didn't just go along the beach collecting snails from the rocks. You had to send someone underwater to collect all these snails. And then, once you had collected a bunch of snails, you had to crush them and collect all the juices. And even then, the process was not complete. Once you had those juices, you had to boil it down, reduce it, so it produced a purple dye. So if Lydia ran out, this wasn't just, hey, go down to the store and pick me up some more dye to sell. She had to be patient. She had to be hardworking. She had to be persevering to see this thing through. Continuing on in verse 14, it said she was from Thyatira, one of the seven churches of Revelation. If you look at Google Maps, there's a feature, a measure feature. You can click on Thyatira, click on Philippi, and you'll see that it's 237 miles across the Aegean Sea. And that's the distance between Nashville and Cincinnati. But it seems that Lydia was not just here on vacation. It seems that she had moved here permanently with her family, which we'll see in a couple sentences here. But also in verse 14, it said that the Lord opened her heart. It doesn't say Paul opened her heart. Paul didn't go down to the river and say, hey, I'm going to convert you today. He did not make that decision. And that's a great reminder. That's something we can all learn, whether we're single and hoping to date someone and say, well, I'm going to date this person. They're beautiful. They're handsome. They're not in the church, but God's going to use me to convert them. Well, that's not necessarily true. It could be, but it's not always up to us. God does the calling. We can reference John 6:44, where Christ said, no one comes to me unless the Father draws him or her. So we don't choose who gets converted. Also here we see that Lydia was submissive. She was yielding. She was willing to yield to God's way of life, to God's Holy Spirit, and to an elder in the church, which takes a lot of humility. It's not always easy to have someone come to us and say, hey, there's some things you need to improve on, or you need to do something a little differently. It's easy to say, no, I don't. I'm right. But Lydia here, what did she do? Well, she didn't just say, okay, Paul, I'll do that. She said, okay, Paul, I'll do that. And it said she heeded. She took action. Heeded is an action word. Literally in Greek, it means apply oneself to. So she applied herself to Paul's instructions. She had an attitude of humility and teachability. In verse 15, we see she altered her life to the point where she became baptized. Her whole family followed the example because of her zeal. She was willing to put this way of life into action. And the good thing about zeal is if it's balanced, it's great. The bad thing about zeal is it can be really offensive if it's used in the wrong manner. And I like to think of the example of Matthew 5, verse 19, where Christ said, let your light shine before men. And if we have a nice flashlight and I light up a dark room, that's great. We can see the exit. We can leave. But if I take this flashlight and I shine it right into your retina, that's not going to be terribly helpful. And it could be actually hurtful or offensive. And so we want to balance our zeal. And that's what Lydia did. And then she also said in verse 15, come to my house and stay. These are some men she had never met before. You know, it wasn't improper. It wasn't just Lydia inviting a man over. It was Lydia and her household inviting a few men to her house that were complete strangers. She had never met them before. And what she was demonstrating here is a great attitude of hospitality. She was willing to go out of her way, sacrifice her own comforts maybe, and invite these strangers into her house. Now, she didn't want Paul and his companions to depart. She heard what they were saying, and they weren't speaking lies. They were speaking the truth, and she knew it. This is the truth. I want this. She clung tightly to that truth, and she didn't want it to depart. Now, do we cling tightly to the truth? Are we zealous for that truth? After all these things, what happened? Well, Paul went on to cast demons out of individuals. He was put in prison. The Philippian jailer was converted along with his household. And this was the start of the church in Philippi. If Lydia hadn't acted as a godly woman, well, Paul's companions and Paul, they might have been like, see you later. We're going on to somewhere else in Europe. But they didn't. They stayed there for quite a while, and a church was started. And we have this great book, the book of Philippians. And we might not have had that if Lydia hadn't been living God's way of life. So there are a lot of women mentioned in Scripture. And to learn from them, what we need to do is we need to get out our spiritual shovels, and we need to do a little bit of excavation and dig into the backstory, dig into the lives of these women. Women like Eunice or Abigail or even Jezebel. All these people, all these women in the Bible have stories from which we can learn. So what did people think of when they thought of Lydia? What do people think of when they hear your name or my name mentioned? Do they think good things, or do they want to be like us? Do they see us demonstrating fruits of change or fruits of repentance? Well, hopefully they do. The people around Lydia did. And today we examined some details of her life. We saw that Lydia was a faithful Sabbath keeper. She was a hard worker. She was zealous. She was submissive to authority. She loved truth. And she was very hospitable. When considering the story of Lydia, we should ask ourselves, what example am I setting for others.